Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him.
Special day in the life of our church. 1 month ago, as we mentioned earlier, we celebrated our Vision Sunday. We talked about the vision God had given us for our future. I was excited that day. I'm excited today as well because God just continues to show up. God just continues to bless our church and to excite people for His mission. Part of that vision was we talked about reducing the debt of our church in order that we might move forward into the next phase. We're talking about building some new space. We've got some images here that are just some conceptual images of what we might do for students and for preteens, for adults as well. We just continue to grow. We have, I was talking to Wally Goma, who's our education pastor, and he said, for adults, we have 7 empty classrooms right now at 9:30 or 11. And I said, great. He said, I have 7 classes going in to fill all 7 of those spots, and then we're out of room. We got to get creative. So we're getting creative on all of that. But we are excited because God just keeps bringing people, walking in our doors. Some of you here today are here for the very first time and you're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Well, you know, part of our plan as a church was that we shared that day was to launch the offering that we are launching today. And with that offering, we're seeking this vision offering. We're seeking to reduce our debt by $2 million. And once we hit that mark, it's going to trigger the opportunity for us to aggressively begin moving forward with the future. So whether that's today or that's in 3 months or by the end of the year, we're going to be receiving that offering all year long. We want to try to hit that mark as soon as possible so we can begin to move ahead. I got to tell you, we need to move ahead yesterday. Because our church just continues to grow and new people continue to stream in our doors. And that growth is fantastic. But that growth also creates great opportunities for us to be squeezed, to kind of squeeze in a little bit. And our vision as a church is to build something that's a next phase that could be permanent space, space that allows us to grow, space that allows us to provide top-tier facilities for our preteens and for our students and for adults, just like we built with our brand-new kids' building that's over here. But we want to do that. We want to take those steps in a responsible manner. And so we need to do some work on the debt. So that's why we're doing this special vision offering with this goal of trying to reduce the debt by $2 million starting today. And that's going to position us to be able to move forward and to do so in a way that not only our, you know, me as pastor and our staff, but our budget committee, our building committee, our capital gifts committee, and really the whole church can feel good about. So today is a day of generosity for our church, this church that we love, but it's also a day we continue our series. And so we're looking at freedom, and we are in Exodus chapter 20. I invite you to open your Bibles there. Now, we're looking at freedom in an unusual way because through this series, we're looking at the freedom that we can find in unusual places. And so that unusual place that we're talking about is the Ten Commandments, the freedom to do something, or the freedom from something is something we see all throughout the Ten Commandments. And today we're going to think about the freedom to be generous. In fact, it is the antithesis of the commandment, yet it really is the fulfillment of what the commandment is all about. Here's the verse, chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 15. You shall not steal. That's it. That's the tweet. I mean, that's the whole verse right there. You shall not steal. On this Vision Sunday, I want us to think about this verse and think about what it means and what it offers. Because even in this commandment against stealing, we still get something. Now, I want to begin with a phrase today that's very popular when it comes to shopping, and you'll be familiar with this phrase. It's a steal. It's a steal. Now, we think of it with shopping, but let me ask it this way. Have you ever stolen something? If you said no, have you ever lied? You know, stealing is kind of a part of human nature since time began. And there's all sorts of theft. I was looking at some information about theft and how Americans are 5 more times likely to experience theft rather than violence. 73 to 75% of all property crimes are some form of larceny or theft. And that includes shoplifting and theft from vehicles and pickpockets and all those kinds of things. Burglary has declined, but it's still significant. Retail theft is exploding. And of course, you know that identity theft is one of the fastest ways that we see theft happening. Now, we typically, those of us in the room today, we typically do not think of ourselves as thieves. Unless, of course, you're a thief. Then you may think of yourself as a thief. But most people don't think of themselves as being thieves. We view ourselves as being honest, upright, upstanding individuals. And in most aspects of our life, that is generally true. I mean, our thievery, if you want to call it that, is, if it happens, it's usually pretty subtle. And most people don't consider themselves to be thieves, and they don't consider stealing to be part of their life unless they're a thief or unless they're like a kleptomaniac. But at the same time, when we're faced with some type of moral dilemma that might involve theft, we rationalize and we say, hey, nobody's gonna miss it. It's not that big a deal. Let me give you an example from not too long ago in our culture. Nobody's gonna miss it if I take this little table tent from Whataburger. Y'all remember that being kind of popular? It was a thing. Or I'm gonna take this little container that the hot sauce came in because I've got a to-go box. They're not gonna miss that. We make stealing something that thieves do, and that's stuff like, you know, this verse is talking about people who like rob banks. Now, we're fascinated by stealing. We love heist films. We love Westerns where the bank gets robbed, you know, or those Mission Impossible movies. And it's all where somebody has to go, you know, steal something. Got to steal money, got to steal secrets, got to steal weapons. And we think that's what thieves do. I doubt anybody in here has stolen a nuclear weapon, you know? I doubt it. We think that's for other people. That's not something I do. And so our normal mindset when we think of stealing is it's big. We don't think of small things. We think of big things. Now, in the movies even, if, you know, somebody tries to rob a bank like the Westerns, what happens? They get thrown into jail, and then what happens? They try to steal the keys to break out of the jail. Stealing is just part of our culture in a lot of ways. It's part of countless movies and TV shows and books, and that's because it's such a big part of our life. And it happens young. It starts young. I'll tell you a story about my kids. Now, anytime I tell a story about my kids, I always have permission from them I never told a story in all the years. They're all adults now, but I've never told a story about my kids without getting permission, so I have permission to tell this one. But when my kids were little, really all three of them, but there's like one or two stories that really stands out in my mind. But when they're like 5 or 6 years old, they would have this experience where they would steal something. And, you know, they're not really that slick when it comes to stealing things at age 5. And you kind of feel, hey, where'd you get that gum? You know, I mean, you kind of know. And so what I would do is anytime that happened, whenever I'd catch my kids in that moment, then I'd say, okay, here's what we're doing. We're going to go back. We're going to go back to the store. Or we're going to go back to like El Phoenix. They stole those little gum packs, you know. There's like 3 pieces, like little chiclet type gums. We're going to go back. And here's what we do when we go back. We're going to go back and we're going to apologize to the person at the place. And then we're going to beg with them not to call the police. And then I would take the longest way possible to get back to El Phoenix or wherever. I mean, we might be in the parking lot. We're still going to drive around, you know, for a little bit, let it soak in. They're crying. Oh, I want to go to jail. And it worked. you know, we don't really think of ourselves as being thieves, and we don't look at, you know, my kids and say, well, those hardened criminals right there. But we don't want to admit it, but it's a part of our life. Even in our vernacular, we speak of things that are a good deal, and we say, it's a steal. But as Admiral Akbar taught us, it's a trap. It's a trap. If you're a Star Wars person, you know exactly what that is on the screen. If you're not, you're thinking, why do we go to this church again? Like, what? This gross fish-looking thing he put up on this. I don't even know what is wrong with him. All right. It's a trap. Admiral Akbar says that in a movie. It's a trap. There's a belief that stealing little things or small things is no big deal. But we have to understand, it's a trap. It's a trap because it seems innocuous to us unless it's really, really big. And yet God's word says very clearly, you shall not steal. It doesn't say you shall not steal, you know, big things. It doesn't say that. It just says you shall not steal. The clarity and the brevity of the verse is so powerful that you just don't need a lot of commentary. You don't have to be super smart to figure out what God is saying there. And remember, these commandments are not the only ones that God gives, but God gave this commandment to Moses and his people. It translates down to us. This is important to God. These are words spoken by God. The Ten Commandments form the foundation of much of our society, and not just our society, the society of the world. The idea of not stealing other people's things is foundational in almost every society that's ever been discovered. Now, that doesn't mean that it's practiced universally. But stealing cuts at the heart of humanity and of society. But it's so much more than sociological. It's theological. It's deeply theological. Because the commandment is not based on humanity. This commandment is based on the character of God. We serve a God who is holy, he is honest, he is true, he does not steal. God can be trusted because he is who he says he is. Isaiah 45, 19 says, I, the Lord, speak the truth, I declare what is right. John 3, 33 says, God is truthful. So God's character is that of honesty and truth. God is generous, the Bible teaches us, and we see it over again. God is not miserly. God is to be trusted, and we don't have to be afraid of him, that he's going to come and just steal things from us. And as followers of Christ, we are called to bear the marks and the character, the identity of the one whose image we were made in. And out of all the people in all the world, Christians ought to be the most honest and trustworthy of all people because we want to what? Be like our God. So back many years ago when the riots took place in Los Angeles, Steve Futterman of CBC Radio was going through Los Angeles where people were looting these stores. And he was, as a reporter, he was interviewing people as to why are you looting this store? Why are you stealing from this store? And he asked a man, why are you stealing? Why have you stolen from this store? What are you taking? And the guy replied, man, I'm taking gospel tapes. I love Jesus. As he runs off with all these tapes in his hands. That's funny and backwards. I mean, and while it's easy for us to maybe point fingers at looters, we're not immune from the temptation to steal. So how do people steal and break this commandment that's so clear in God's word? I mean, how do we do this? How do we steal things and break the command? There are a lot of ways. So instead of just listing every possible way I could think of, I decided to break them into some categories, okay? So the first category is what you might call sticky finger stealing. You know that phrase, sticky fingers? Somebody has sticky fingers, they're always taking things. So you got sticky finger stealing. And this is the kind of stuff that can get you in real trouble. It's the kind of stuff that can get you arrested. And this is the kind we're most familiar with. And what we think of when we think of do not steal. It's theft, it's robbery, it's committing fraud, it's cheating on your taxes. It's the cashier who intentionally gives the wrong change back to the customer and then pockets the rest. It is somebody who is shoplifting or maybe hacking into somebody's account or maybe it's credit card fraud. It's not just money, though. It's also plagiarizing a paper, stealing a creative work by someone else. It can be taking of things, not money. Out there in the world today, is somebody who stole my bike when I was 8 years old. I am still hunting for that individual. I want my bike back if you're watching. All right, so these are examples of your basic sticky finger stealing. Then you have what I called subtle stealing. Warning, things are about to get personal. Now, we might not consider ourselves as somebody who goes steal somebody's bike or, you know, is committing credit card fraud, but if we pretend to be injured when we're not really injured, that's a subtle form of stealing. You borrow a tool from a neighbor and you forget to return it. You never return it. You borrow money from somebody and you don't pay them back. When you promised them you were going to pay them back, but you don't pay them back. Maybe you don't intentionally mean to steal, but what happens is you deceive the person when you don't pay them back. Proverbs 20:23, the Lord despises double standards. He's not pleased with dishonest scales. Scales were used to not only weigh things and measure things, but it was oftentimes how amounts of money or cost were determined. And God doesn't want dishonest scales. That foot on the bottom of the suitcase when you're weighing your bag at the airport terminal, as you're lifting up a little bit, that's stealing. By the way, that's not new. If you do that at the airport terminal, that's not new. Many years ago, Norman Rockwell painted a cover for the Saturday Evening Post. Look at where each of them has their hand. He's just identifying what people do. Just trying to take a little bit without having to pay. False advertising would fall under this idea of being deceitful. All right, I'll say this one, but maybe I shouldn't look because I don't want to see anybody's faces, you know? Using somebody else's streaming account. Borrowing a bunch of supplies from the office. Borrowing. Speaking of the workplace, the employer who withholds money that is rightfully due an individual, that employer is stealing. Which, by the way, I think it's also stealing when you pay an employee less just because she's a female. We see behavior like that in the news a lot. We also know there's another side of that, though. And that's the employee who gets paid for 8 hours of work but doesn't work 8 hours. The employee who arrives late and leaves early and takes an extra long lunch break and maybe thinking about, you know, kind of being in the neighborhood of work but not really working. For hours they're getting paid to do work. That's a form of stealing from your employer. There are many ways that we can defraud other people and organizations. And God's word to us is that we're not to live that way, no matter how subtle the stealing may be. There's also another form of stealing we don't often think of, and it's what I call slanderous stealing. And this is the form of stealing that we don't think of, but it's really important. Anytime we slander, you see the word slander there, anytime we slander or gossip, we're actually stealing from the good name of a person. We're stealing from the reputation of a person. Shakespeare wrote in Othello, he put into the words of the evil Iago, he says, "Who steals my purse," talking about his wallet, we would say wallet today, "who steals my purse steals trash. 'Tis something, 'tis nothing. But he that filches from me my good name robs me of that which enriches him and makes me poor." What is Iago saying? He's saying that you say bad things about me, you're trying to steal from my good name. And when we rob somebody of their name, of their reputation, that's a form of stealing that's subtle and it's sinful. So that's why we say, when we say it's a steal, it's also a trap that we have to be very, very careful of, because it's easy to think it doesn't apply to me. I don't rob banks. We have to be careful. Well, it's also a ruse. Stealing is a ruse. It's a trick. It's a plan that is used by the devil, planted in your heart, intended to mislead you. So why do I say that stealing is a ruse? Stealing is a ruse because stealing puts trust in something else, an object, money, a possession, a person, whatever it may be. It puts trust in that instead of putting trust in the Lord. This commandment, do not steal, really is a commandment against distrust. It's more about more than about property or things like we normally think of. It's about desire. It's about discontent. It's about not trusting in God. Stealing is really it's a rejection of God's provision. God, you have provided for me, but not enough. I got to go take this over here. I have to have that. I have to put my hands on that. But Christ has freed us. We talk about freedom in this series. Christ has freed us to live by trust and not by taking. Now, there's no greater place, all right? There's no greater place to recognize in your own life whether or not you trust the Lord than when it comes to something that's very sensitive to everybody. And that is money. Money has a way of just showing us where our trust is. Now, I didn't have to say that because we all inherently know that. We've all felt that at times in our life. Now, the Bible has a lot of principles in it about resources and about money. Jesus talks a lot about money and how we handle the resources God has blessed us with, how we handle all the treasures that God puts before us. And those treasures come in the fourth form of actual money. Sometimes it's through our time that we spend. Sometimes it's through our talents. But we are called to give back to God. God gives to us. We give back to him. Now, the Bible teaches us about tithing, giving 10% of our income to the Lord's work. But God says something about tithing that's really, really important to understand, especially when we talk about our verse today. Because the Bible says, do not steal. But God says something in the book of Malachi that we don't want to miss. God says this. These are God's words. Will a man rob God? There's your stealing idea. Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. A verse like that forces us to decide whether or not we trust God, like we really trust him. Now, I believe in scriptural teaching of the tithe, that 10% of your gross income to the Lord's work through his church. But many people will say, hey, I can't afford that. I can't afford to do that. God says otherwise. God says something different. God knows what you need. The Bible teaches us over and over again about God's provision. In fact, the Bible says more about God's blessing and provision than it does about giving and tithing, but it talks about both. I often say this at our dinner with the pastor that a lot of times people will say to me, Pastor, I don't like going to a church where they talk about giving and talk about money. And I understand that. And if that's you, then we're not the church for you. And we're not the church for you, not because we beat people over the head with it. We don't. We just don't want to say, hey, Jesus said where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we don't really care about your heart here at the church. We're just not going to do that. But we want to make sure we honor God with our resources. Let's put that verse back up, if you would, that we just looked at in Malachi. Because at the end of that verse, he says test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. Now, let's imagine this. Let's imagine, what if I said to you, if you promise to me that you're going to tithe, that you're going to give 10% of your income to the Lord's work through his church, if you promise me that you're going to tithe, then what I promise is that I'm going to make up any of your bills that fall short. You got bills to pay, but you're going to give first the tithe, and any of the bills that you have that you can't pay for, I promise to make up. I'm going to cover that. Would you accept that offer? All right, so you're turning that over in your head right now, and I understand you have a lot of caveats and all that you could probably come up with, but if I'm good for it, I'm going to cover it. If you come up short, I'm going to take it. Would you accept that? Many people would look at an offer like that and say, hey, I've never tithed before, never put God first in my finances, but Pastor Brent said he's going to make up for it. If I don't, I trust Pastor Brent, so I'm going to do it. If you agreed to that, I want you now to process the implications of what you just said. Because the implications of what you just said is, I am willing to put my trust in Pastor Brent because he said he would cover it. Pastor Brent, who's just like me, and doesn't, have all the wealth in the world. But I'm saying I'll be willing to put my trust in Pastor Brent on this one. But you can't bring yourself to put your trust in our Heavenly Father who owns the entire universe. We have to look at our hearts and we have to think about, okay, God, do I really trust you? Remember we said the commandment, do not steal, is a commandment about God's provision? It's not just about us taking, it's about do we trust and believe that God can provide? God wants us to place our trust in him, and tithing, our money, is one of the clearest ways that we can see our trust and see if we really believe what God says he will do. And to not do that, to not be faithful in this area of your life, I mean, God says it pretty clearly. Are you going to rob me? So the commandment says, do not steal. And in Malachi, God says, are you going to rob me by not being faithful in your tithes and offerings? It's not really fuzzy. It's not even really gray. It's not hard to understand. But sometimes we think it's too good to be believed. But God is calling us to something more than what we think we can do on our own. And the decision to say, I'm not going to steal, but instead I'm going to trust, well, it's a treasure. It's a treasure. Generosity is a treasure. Let me tell you something about people who are generous. God loves people who are generous. You say, oh, how do you know that? Because I read the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9:7. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. God is a cheerful giver to his children, and he wants us to be like him. And God, who is a generous and cheerful giver, every good and perfect gift comes from him. James 1:17 tells us giving reflects the heart of God. And when we give cheerfully, we're given the way that God gives, a God who so loved the world that he gave. John 3:16, verse we know well. Generosity is one of the clear marks of spiritual maturity, and God blesses cheerful givers, not because God needs the money. God's not up there paying bills. God loves when his people are like him. And this is a very important area where God is calling his people to be like him. Generosity does something that's really important for us to understand. Generosity breaks something very big in our culture. Generosity breaks the grip of greed. Generosity breaks that grip of greed and forms a Christ-like character within us. The early church, they were known for radical generosity. And the early church is a beautiful reflection of the kind of model that we want to follow. And so we want to encourage you, and I always tell people, the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. And we want to encourage people to be faithful in the tithe. But this church was built on offerings, the church you're in. Our kids building, the More to Come campaign, that was part of that, that was offerings above and beyond the tithe. We're not asking you to give to the vision offering instead of tithing. We're asking you to tithe and to give tithes and offerings like the Bible teaches. God has been so good to us, and we want to respond to him through generosity. And here's what happens. Every gift you give, that's a seed. And God takes seeds and he watches them grow. The 13 people who founded our church in 1909, those people planted seeds that day, December 16th. They planted seeds that would grow into trees under which they would never sit. And you and I today are sitting in the shade of their tree that they helped to plant. And that is because God sees what he does generationally, and he multiplies what we put in his hands. I can't tell you how many people in our church have told me over the years, including one recent, a senior adult lady just a couple of months ago, who said, I don't have enough money to make ends meet, but I tithe every month first, and God always makes ends meet. I've heard that story over and over and over again. Because when God sees that we are trusting in him, he shows up. He provides. And he's done so generation upon generation upon generation. So, the Bible tells us do not steal. The Bible's not unclear or fuzzy on these matters. The question now becomes, what are you going to do with the Word of God? What will each and every one of us choose to do with the Word of God? I'd invite you to think about that and pray about that. Pray about what God would have you do. Pray about being a part of this vision offering. And I'll say this, some of you came in today and you'd already decided what you're going to give. Some of you have already given. God may have something else more for you. And I'll give you a testimony of that. My wife and I talked about what we were going to give. And we made the decision what we were going to give. And then when I sat down to write the check, God changed that. He changed that amount. Cut it in half. I'm so grateful. No, I'm teasing. He didn't. He called on us to raise it. And at that moment, I could have debated with God. But instead, I just said, yes, Lord. By the way, no and Lord can't go in the same sentence. I just said, yes, Lord. That's not at all to brag. It's not at all to boast. It is only to remind all of us that we should pray and ask God, God, what do you want us to do? And let him make that decision and not us. And when we do that, God says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I want to ask you to bow your head if you would. God may be speaking to some of you today about the things that we've talked about. God may be speaking to you about giving your heart to Jesus Christ. It's the greatest decision you can ever make, to trust Christ, to be in a relationship with God and to experience the forgiveness of God, to have eternal life. If you've never placed your faith in Christ, but you want to do so, right across the hallway is our Connect Room, where we have pastors that are waiting to talk to you. It's this glassed-in room out here. Pastors are waiting to talk to you, and if you want to receive Christ as Savior, all you got to do is walk in the door. Just walk in the door. They're going to start up a conversation with you, and you can leave today knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that heaven is your home, that God has a great plan for your life. So if you've come here today and never received Christ as Savior, you can go there and give your heart to Christ today. Go give your life to Jesus today. Some of you are here today and maybe you don't have a church home, but God is speaking to you about joining our church. You go to the Connect Room. That's where you can go and join the church. Some of you may say, hey, I need to be baptized. Go to the Connect Room. We'll talk to you about baptism. Some of you may sense a God, a calling on your life to ministry or missions. We want to talk to you about that and pray with you about that. Some of you are here today and you say, hey, I came to church today not to talk about giving, but my life is a mess. I need help. Hey, go to that Connect Room. We've got people there that want to pray over you. Just pray for you today. You don't even have to tell them what's going on. You can just say, hey, I need prayer. They'll pray for you today. Whatever God is speaking to you, however he's speaking into your life, go there today. There may be some of you that God has spoken very clearly about this topic of tithing, and you know you need to do this. You know you need to be faithful in this area. I just encourage you to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, show me. Lord, provide. I'm trusting in you. I'm willing to take that step, God. I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. The devil's going to tell you, you can't do this because he doesn't want your treasure and your heart to be following the Lord. Say, Lord, I trust you. I follow you. I'm listening to you. I'm going where you're leading me. Some of you, God is speaking to you about the vision offering today. I want to be a part. I want to give. Maybe you already planned, and like me, God spoke to you about more. Maybe God is speaking to you today about that. Hey, be a part. Do what God's telling you to do. At our church, we often say this, but we believe it. It's not about any one of us. It's not about me as pastor. It's not about anybody on our staff. It's not about any of us. We are here because we need God. We need God to work in our life, and we want God to work through our life that we might make a difference in this world, that we might see people come to faith in Christ. And God has used our church since 1909. I believe he's going to continue to use our church. And we're believing God has great things in store, that there is more to come. And we're saying it's not just one person who does this, but it's all of us together. All of us together to be a part of his work and his kingdom. Let's say yes to his voice in our life. Would you quietly stand where you are as I pray? God, thank you for all these fine people who have come here today, those who are watching online. God, I pray that we would do all that we can do to follow you. And Lord, may it not just be our heart and our head, but may our pocketbook follow you as well. God, may we follow you in all areas of our life. And may we be willing to give all that we are to you and your work and your kingdom. And God, may our lives be an offering, everything in it. And may we lay it before you, O God, and ask that you would just work in our lives and do in our lives what you want to do. So God, we are surrendering ourselves to you today, our lives to you today, and we're asking that you would do amazing things in our church and in your kingdom. But Father, we don't want it to be about any one of us. We want it all to be about you, your name, your fame, your renown to the nations. And so Lord, today, would you take your word, and in each and every heart that you have given ears to hear, would you speak to us, and may we respond to your voice as you have said it in our lives. Let us not listen to the no of the devil, but may we say yes, Lord, to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.